Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 12th of July, recording at 9:14 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick review of this rather dramatic day. Asian stock markets were fairly weak, particularly the Hang Seng Index. That was down over 3%. And I see Australia down 1.9%. China must have been down by about that much. The European stock markets were weaker, pretty much across the boards, although they pegged back those declines quite a bit as the day progressed. And actually, the market that fell the most yesterday and was representing the economy at the center of the latest round of problems, Italy, actually closed up over 1%. So a bit of volatility there, and more on that in a minute. It has to do with the surge and then retracement in the long-dated government bond yields. Brazil, weak again, down 0.86%. The Toronto, that's the Canadian index, of course, that managed a gain in here today. And Wall Street, having been weak, and then it moved modestly into the profit column, but then gave it up later as Moody's, I think it was, let me just check on that, yes, cut Ireland's credit rating to junk, joining Portugal and Greece in that category. Now, against this background, long-dated government bond prices, first they soared, and then they fell back into the minus column, and then the U.S. Treasuries actually closed with some modest gains as Wall Street weakened. Precious metals, boy, what a day. And here, let's take gold, for instance. Gold had a low of 1540 this morning and a high of 1573.65, and it closed the day out up 15 at 1568 and 60 cents. And platinum also up a little bit after a very big swing as well. Ditto silver. Palladium actually closed down a little bit. In currencies, the dollar was a little stronger, the yen was a lot stronger, and in industrial commodities, we had some early declines reversed, and all the industrial metals closed with gains. Crude oil also closed somewhat higher. I can see NYMEX, WTI, yes, that's NYMEX, at 96.78. As I speak, that's up $1.63. Grains and beans, powerful, powerful gains. Rough rice pressing up against some resistance that we've seen over the last year. Strong gain. Up about 50 cents here today, up to about 16.5. wheat and corn up 25. And it's a big dynamic on these grains overall because they had been weak in the morning and then rebounded here very strongly. Okay. So, what's going on here overall? Well, we've got very, very nervous market conditions. Now, there was plenty to worry about generally with China's tightening monetary conditions, India's scandals, the USA's rising unemployment, and just very weak growth generally. But what everybody was focusing on here today were the soaring long-dated government bond yields for the so-called peripheral countries within the Eurozone. And Italy was right at the center of this mix. Now, in 5 days, the Italian 10-year bonds, which had been ranging for quite some time, with the upper side of the range just a fraction above the 5% level. But they broke upwards last Wednesday. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, the gains were persistent, but not that big. But nonetheless, a clear breakout. But they really took off yesterday and here today. And so, basically, in 5 days, with most of it coming in the last 2 days, so yesterday and today, we saw those Italian 10-year yields go up 100 basis points from 5 to 6. Then they fell back really quite sharply here this afternoon. I'm not sure what catalyst there was to push those back down, except it was a clear acceleration, and accelerations tend to be burnouts. But I'm sure there was something else along the way, but nothing hugely significant. They did come back down, and that's when stock markets started to steady. But with Ireland's debt being downgraded by Moody's, I think the market's going to be in a well, a worrisome mood here overall. In terms of stock market action, most of these markets, though, did close well off the lows, particularly in Europe, where so many of the problems have actually occurred. We saw Germany, for instance, drop straight down to the June low that I've been talking about and then bounce right up off it. I think France actually got a little bit through below its June low, but then pushed right back up. The UK got down to that level. But then bounced back up quite strongly. Not exactly a healthy environment here overall, and to put it mildly. And we are still very much in this corrective phase here overall. Now, go back to the good rally, and it's only last week that we were still seeing these stock markets push up and really the NASDAQ index getting quite overextended, and the S&P going right back up to the upper side of their ranges. It was 3 weeks of a pretty good rally. And at that time, my best case scenario would have been a gradual pullback and consolidation holding at least half the gains. Well, we can forget about that one because we've seen downward dynamics and we've seen real volatility in here, which is unnerving for investors to put it mildly. So, where do we go in this corrective phase? Well, I still think that those June lows, are really quite important. They're vulnerable in here right now, but we'll see. It'd be very interesting to see how Asia actually responds to events tomorrow and over the next few days. In some respects, if you want a litmus paper for sentiment generally, keep an eye on those long-dated government bond yields. I'm posting them in comment of the day, which I haven't put up on the website yet. But as I do, and I've also suggested that people create a favorite section in their libraries, because this problem of the European sovereign debt is not going to go away anytime quickly. We've known that for quite some time. But it's become a big player here in terms of stock market sentiment, not just in Europe. So while in many respects things that are happening here in with Italian bonds and Portuguese and Greek bonds and Spanish bonds and Irish bonds here, that has little to do really with what China's economy is doing or what India's economy or Australia's economy is doing. But in the global marketplace, it can exert a big influence on overall investor sentiment. Now, that's both good news and bad news. The bad news is that you're not safe in there, and that contagion can spread across borders in an instant, and we see it. The good news is that markets that are really not affected fundamentally, or it's pretty hard to make a case that they're much affected, we can see valuations improve on a sell-off, and that creates an additional buying opportunity. I'm thinking particularly in terms of fuller money investment themes. So that's a good news side of all this, and we do want to buy on weakness, not on strength overall. where this actually all goes is a little bit more complicated now that we've seen such a blowout, and really only in the last few days here in these yields in the European area. George Soros has an article basically saying in the Financial Times today, basically saying that people need a rethink. Well, it's a lot easier to do that before everything goes pear-shaped than afterwards. But beforehand, governments are in a muddle-through mode, and they are also crisis-oriented, so they don't really get around to doing something until we really do have quite a problem. But it's hard for me to see, at any rate, what they can do that is going to calm this whole situation down. It's going to remain a big concern for a while longer. We can expect more choppy activity here overall. Gold now was experiencing some contagion this morning. Not a whole lot, but it did dip down to 1541. But the strength with which gold and some other commodities rebounded here as those long-dated government bond yields started to come down in Europe was very, very impressive to see. And it looks good on the charts here overall. So I think that we can count on gold maintaining that relative strength and probably holding its ground at least, provided we don't get too much of a sell-off in stock markets generally. It's going to be lively. Now, commodities are really stronger than I think is actually good for the overall global economy. And in the United States, that's causing some inflationary pressures, as it has been in the UK for quite some time, pretty well everywhere else. Major inflationary pressures, of course, in the growth economies of the world. And those commodities are not going down sufficiently to really alleviate that. Now, I know that the data washes out over the course of a year on the way it's actually calculated, but people are going to feel that inflationary pressure, and commodities, remember, are still in a secular bull market. So short of a global recession, which we do not have, and which I don't think we are going to have, short of a global recession, these commodities are going to remain quite firm. I suppose that's good news if you're investing in commodities, but it does take a toll elsewhere. And the dilemma that the United States is facing, the Federal Reserve here today, is really that there's too much evidence of commodity inflation for them to introduce a QE3. But on the other hand, the economy is much too weak. Or I put it this way, I think I'll rephrase that. I'll say the economy is certainly not strong, but unemployment is much too big a problem, particularly with an election year coming up, for although it's still, what do we, over 15 months away, it is the unemployment figure is too high here for the Fed to contemplate raising interest rates as the ECB has been doing and may regret actually having done. So it's a stagflation situation there for the USA. Okay, what else to mention? I think that's covered most of the main bases. I've got a gold report from Oxford Analytics, which is commissioned by the World Gold Council, yet another gold report that may interest you. And expect more choppy action. All the best.